Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Luke and chapter 19, if you would turn there this Easter Sunday morning, a whole lot to be thankful for. And it's been a little bit weird the last few weeks. And this has been a year to remember. It really has for Fundamental Baptist Church and for everybody in America. And the Eastern end, man, we've experienced a winter like none other. And this place is usually just busting at the seams. And just a little bit weird to preach to a 500-seat auditorium and have just a few people scattered around so I have somebody to look at. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Trust that God is going to bless. I'm used to basically going 100 miles an hour, and ministry-wise, it's almost like the car's been in park for a couple of weeks now. Still getting to minister, still able to meet with people and help them out, but at the same time, not like we normally do. So I look forward. I'm ready to bust. I got a lot to preach. I know I can't preach it all in one session. I keep telling myself that. So I'm not going to try to preach it all in one session. I got notes and notes and notes because this is the biggest time of year for every New Testament child of God. This Resurrection Sunday. Now, here's what a lot of people don't understand. It's Resurrection Sunday every Sunday for the born-again child of God. So we take great delight in the fact that Jesus is alive. And it's been a weird year. You think back, here in Chippewa County, Mackinac County, Luce County, we had, remember the blackout? That seems so long ago now. We don't normally get that kind of thing where we had no electricity for days and days and days. And we went through that. Then we went through all kinds of sicknesses where for the first time I can remember, entire school districts were closed down for weeks at a time. Just an amazing, just kind of a different kind of winter. And this is the UP. We still got snow out here for those that aren't in the Upper Peninsula, but it's been an easy year as far as snow. And then this COVID-19 thing happened, and everything's just kind of a little bit different. But I assure you, again, this is not the tribulation. The reason I know this is not the tribulation is the church is still here. The trumpet hasn't sounded. Millions of people haven't been missing. You'll know when the tribulation starts. If you've heard a gospel message, man, you'll understand. You'll wonder what in the world is going on if you have no familiarity with the Bible. But those that have heard the gospel, you'll know when people are missing. Millions of people are missing. You know, okay, the man of sin is about ready to confirm that peace treaty with Israel, and the 7 years of tribulation is going to start. Here's a little commercial. Next week, second coming of Christ. The week after, I'm going to preach on the coming world leader. The Antichrist. And I know you're interested in that. And I know that it will be a blessing. I trust it will. Luke and chapter 19. Stand with me if you are able to. Luke and chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. I want to read it by way of introduction. And then I want to get to the resurrection. This is the conversion of Zacchaeus, a publican, a tax collector, a contracted tax collector to the Roman Empire. He was a Jew that the other Jews hated because he was looked upon as a traitor. Not only that, he was a crooked tax collector. And he made money, and Rome allowed that to happen. Verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus." He wanted to know who Christ was. He heard he was coming, who he was. "And he could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Interesting, Jesus, never met before, but Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. Jesus knew which tree Zacchaeus was in. I want you to know this morning, saved or unsaved, God knows who you are. And he knows what tree you're in this morning, what your circumstance is in life. Verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Jesus, a friend of sinners. Amen. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Half of what I've got, half of my riches, I'm giving to the poor. If I cheated anybody, and he did, I'm going to return it fourfold. This is real salvation. Man, this got right down to Zacchaeus' pocketbook. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he is also is a son of Abraham. And the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, we come to you this morning rejoicing that you're a friend of sinners. Rejoicing that you know our every situation. From the youngest to the oldest, from the smallest to the greatest. God, rejoicing that you came to this earth to seek sinners, to save sinners. Oh God, we rejoice in the fact that you're a living Savior. Arrest the attention of everyone listening to this broadcast, no matter how they're listening and no matter where they're at. And Lord God, we pray that you would make the gospel of Jesus Christ abundantly clear. And God, we pray that many would be born again this day and these next several moments. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A lot of despair in the world in which we live today. A lot of hopelessness. A lot of uncertainty in the days ahead. We don't know how this is going to end, not even for the United States of America, the mighty nation of America. We really don't know where this is going or how it's going to end, except for the fact, and it's tough. Right now, this morning, 1 in 4 Americans are unemployed. Right now, and that could get worse. Now, we may have a turnaround. I'm praying we do. But I'm praying that people will rush to Christ in this time of need. And this is your opportunity. I want you to know this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what separates the men from the boys. That's what separates Jesus from all the false gods and man-made gods of the culture or any other culture that man has ever lived. You understand in the book of Acts, I just give you this very quickly. The reason the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Caiaphas, the high priest, and others were so upset with the early church was not because they preached a little Jesus. Not because they had a little bit of religion. But because they preached that Jesus had risen from the dead. That he was different than all the other religions. In fact, he surpassed all religions. And he came to this earth as the Lamb of God, the Savior of the whole world. Man, what a wonderful message that was. Because you see, if it had ended with Calvary and there were no resurrection morning, then death would have won. But we have a living Savior. You've got to note that this morning. And don't allow this to cause you to turn away from God. I'm talking to Christians now. Instead, run to God. The devil has tried to beat the church down to its knees many times. Only to find out that's where the church is its strongest, on its knees. I said this last Sunday, the church has thrived through poverty, pestilence. The church has thrived through war. The church has thrived in every situation because it's bigger than the situations of man. Because it's all about the Savior who is the head of the church. And gave himself, when I say church, I don't mean an organized religion. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And I want to invite you to know Christ as your Savior before this day is through, before this next half hour is through. It's a great day to be a Christian. Things are different. We got to rethink ministry. But we don't rethink the truth. The truth does not change. As a child of God, understand that. Now let's look in our Bibles here at Luke and chapter 19. And there's several things I want to get to. And I want to get to the resurrection. I just want to touch on last Sunday's message. Give you something new. And then end up with the resurrection and the fact that Jesus is coming again. And what a great opportunity we have as the church. The stone is rolled away. The angel said, he's not here. For he is risen. We're going to read that in a moment. Our God lives. That's why we sing. That's why we have a church. That's why we gather and we congregate and we love and we grow and we thrive. It's because Jesus is alive. It's not a religion. The church is not supposed to be a morgue. It's a hospital for the birthing of souls into the family of God. It's a hospital for the mending and the healing of the sick. It's a temple of praise. It's the opportunity for God to show himself to a lost world. And he chose it and he ordained it this way. He ordained the church. So here we are in this 2,000 year time slot. This is our day. Jesus said, I will build my church. Before I read another text, let me just use, I shared this in Sunday school. I just feel led to do it right now. A little bit of football terminology. We're in the fourth quarter as the church. We win, but we're in the fourth quarter. In fact, a two-minute warning has already sounded. And as an old football coach, and any football fan will understand this, here's what you need. I want the ball. Right now at the end of the church age, I want the ball. I want to be able to punch it in with seconds going off the clock. And I want to be able to get into a victory formation after that and just claim absolute victory and shout it when the trumpet of God sounds and the church is raptured from this earth. Church, do not be in despair. Child of God, don't be hovering in darkness in a corner somewhere. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus said, occupy till I come. That's a military term. It doesn't mean hold the fort. It means take new ground. I want the ball. I want to advance the ball down the field. I know many a child of God feels the same way. Now is the time to be faithful to God. Well, let's look at several things here. Luke chapter 19 and verse 29. And if you'll allow me, I'll just summarize last Sunday morning's message. And it's really simple. It was Palm Sunday. And it's where Jesus officially presents himself to Israel as the Messiah, the one they were waiting for, the promised one, the Savior, the King of Kings. They just misunderstood. They thought that Jesus was coming as a triumphant king right then, right now. They didn't understand that God intended the church to be born. God intended to reach the whole world with the gospel through not Israel, but this time through the church of Jesus Christ. And then the 7 years would start, and then Jesus would come as King of Kings. They didn't have that kind of understanding, but Jesus is presenting himself as king. Verse 29 says, it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, a couple of villages, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, into the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes, their outer garments, on the road, and when he was come nigh, ascending on up into Jerusalem, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, and then up into Jerusalem, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God. It's like they couldn't help themselves. And with a loud voice, the disciples, the followers of Christ, they started to praise Jesus and cry out and say, Hosanna, King of Kings, promised one, please save us. That was last Sunday's message. People broke off palm branches off the palm trees and laid them in the way. And the crowd grew and it got bigger and louder. And people followed in behind him. And people were in front of him. And all the religious leaders of the day, they took note. And Jesus presents himself as king. Here's the deal. They reject him as a nation. Individuals come to Christ. That was last Sunday morning's message. Individual Jews got saved. The early church was a Jewish church. The apostles, they were Jewish men. Jesus was a Jewish carpenter, the Son of God. And you know, so it was a Jewish church, but as a nation, by way of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, they rejected Christ. John in chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 10 and 11 says, he came unto his own received him not. And so he was there, he was among them, and they rejected him as king. Hey, I want to look at that. John in chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, there's something there I want you to see. And while you're turning there at home, and while you're turning there here, I want to say this. God is not done with Israel. We do not believe in replacement theology here. That is not what the Bible teaches. The promises to the nation Israel, to Abraham, will still be fulfilled during the millennial kingdom. God is not through with Israel. The church doesn't replace Israel. That's replacement theology. But the bride of Christ, the church, that's just another entity altogether. And we who are Gentiles, we who are sinners saved by grace, we get to be part of the bride of Christ. That's a wonderful truth. And the gospel goes to the whole world. But it says in John in chapter 1, speaking of the rejection of Jesus, he was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. I love verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's great hope, even in the year 2020. Even though the Israel as a nation has rejected Christ, they're going to come back to him. But as a nation, they have rejected Christ. The invitation is given to all peoples, every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue. But as many as receive him, Jesus, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. So if you're not born again, you can get born again. You can become a son of God, a daughter of God, by faith today, by receiving Jesus. Don't reject him like Israel did in the days of Jesus. Don't make that mistake. And too many in the world today, when they hear the gospel, they reject him. Or they've never even heard the gospel. They've never even given Christ a chance, and they reject him. That is foolish. Don't do that. Come to Christ and come to him now. You say, well, what about my sin? He took care of it all on Calvary. And then he rose from the grave. That's what Easter's about. You understand what Jesus did? He became sin who knew no sin. The book of Colossians tells us that Jesus was nailed to the cross. And when he was nailed to the cross, he nailed the law he nailed our sin to the cross, the law that we could not fulfill. He fulfilled the law. And then he took my sin. The sin of Tim Rader, every sin that Tim Rader has ever committed, there at the cross when he bled out and shed his blood for the blood atonement, he took my sin to the grave like a corpse. And on the third day, he rose again, just like he said he was going to. He wrestled victory from defeat. He wrestled life from the darkness. That's what Jesus did for us when he rose again on the third day. He was rejected by Israel. Don't reject him today. Luke in chapter 23, would you go there? Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. Let me read just a few verses, not many, not the entire story, but a few verses concerning the crucifixion. Chapter 23, verse of the Gospel of Luke, verse 20. Let me just read some highlights. And they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he, that's Pilate, said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices. They're rejecting him, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence. And I'm skipping a lot of details. I'll do some summarizing here in just a moment. Verse 27 says, and there followed him a great company of people as he walked the hill of Calvary, and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Heaven must have watched in horror that day. I'm reading between the lines. I don't think I'm exaggerating. The angels must have wept. What is going on? What are they doing to the Son of God? Verse 33 says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, that's noon, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, that's 3:00. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Verse 48, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. You understand, the Son of God was crucified. He died. Extreme death at the hands of the Roman government. The voice of the Jewish people, that I might have life. He was the Lamb of God. 6 hours he hung suspended between heaven and earth. 6 hours he who knew no sin became sin that I might have eternal life. That's what the book of Romans says. He who never experienced a hint of sin, he who overcame every temptation, had all the sin that has ever been committed by mankind, from the earliest days to today and the future, on his body, he became the sin bearer. Those first 3 hours, the seven sayings of Christ on the cross, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said to the thief on his side, by his side, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said, woman, behold thy son. And he said, John, take care of mama. Then at noon, the sun goes black as the sins of the mankind are being lowered under the body of the very Son of God. And that's when he cries out, and the sun goes black, and the heavens stop singing. And he cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The perfect Son of God, who knew no sin, was bearing on his body at that moment all the sins of mankind. All of the sins. And then he says, I thirst. And then finally he said, it is finished. Not talking about his life, but God's plan of redemption. Remember we read concerning Zacchaeus? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Calvary is why he came to this earth. Calvary is why God's Son took on human flesh, the incarnation, the Christmas season, why he took on human flesh. Calvary, that he might be the Lamb of God. When John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, who knew no sin, took my sin to the cross. But that would all be for naught, were it not for the resurrection. The resurrection is God's amen to the work of the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, the work of the cross was finished. It was done. But it wasn't complete. Not until he rose from the dead. And he told everybody he was going to do that. And just when he said he was going to do it, on the third day, he rose from the grave. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans or Luke in chapter 24. Just turn over a page. Luke and chapter 24. Let's read of the resurrection. Man, isn't springtime great? I jokingly say this, not mean this. Nobody appreciates springtime like a youper. Nobody. You know, I heard the songbirds this morning. I heard crows and I heard seagulls. As a matter of fact, there are more crows and seagulls at Fundamental Baptist Church this morning than there are people in the church house. I mean, they were just singing. I'm thinking, man, springtime is coming. The snowbanks are almost gone. They're not gone yet. They're almost gone. And springtime is just around the corner. And Resurrection Sunday, the hope, the certainty of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth on me shall never die. Jesus, the first fruits of our resurrection, because Jesus conquered the grave. So understand, go back to Calvary. It's been the third day now since Jesus was crucified. Everybody's in shock. Nobody really knows what to believe. They're talking amongst themselves. Some of them are no doubt rehearsing. He said he was going to rise from the dead, but nobody really, really could grasp that. Verse 1 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, probably about dawn, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. I want to shout that from the housetop this morning. The stone is rolled away. The church is alive because our Savior is alive. We don't worship a dead Jewish carpenter. We worship the living Savior, the very Son of God. And he's ascended and he's at the right hand of the throne of God. And he is alive. Church is never to be drier than dead, drier than cracker juice and deader than last year's Christmas tree. Man, that's not the church of Jesus Christ. We worship a living Savior. That puts a song in your heart. Verse 1 says, and they found the stone, verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Then the angels say unto them, verse 6, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Man, he's not here, he's alive. Don't be looking for Jesus in some cemetery. Don't be looking for him nailed to a cross somewhere. He's not a piece of jewelry on the end of a necklace. He's not in a little box where you ring a bell, and that's not where Jesus is. He's ascended. He's alive, and he's at the right hand of the throne of God. This is Resurrection Sunday, and you need to know this. We have holy record, holy writ that tells us that 13 times they saw Jesus on this earth in his resurrected body before he ascended, before the day of Pentecost. 13 times, individually, and great groups, great numbers. Our God's alive. And you may look around you in the world today and think, well, I don't know if God's really got it together. He's alive. And all the evil that's going on in the world today, don't blame that on God. That's not God. That is man doing his own thing, turning his back on a holy God. But God has not left us alone. He sent his Savior. He sent the Savior, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross and died for us and rose again. And then he sent the Holy Spirit and the church was born. And here we are. And here's what you got to know this. Not only is alive, but he's coming again. Go to John chapter 14, Gospel of John and chapter 14. A familiar verse. I'll preach on the second coming of Christ next week. And this is the rapture of the church, which is the first part of the second coming of Christ. And I just want to hit on it. I just want you to know, Jesus didn't leave this world scurrying with his tail between his legs. That is not what happened. He is King of Kings. And he is coming again. And he's coming back as the warrior, victorious king. Verse 1 of chapter 14, the Gospel of Luke, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. I will come again. I said we're in the fourth quarter. I said it's the 2-minute warning. There's not much time left. Make sure your children are saved. Make sure your grandchildren are born again. You yourself, make sure you're a child of God. I want to invite you to the Savior right now, this morning. He's coming soon. 1 in 25 verses in the New Testament speak of the second coming of Christ. 23 of the 27 New Testament books say that Jesus is coming again. The very last message in the Bible, Jesus said, I come quickly. He's returning. And you need Christ as your Savior. And if you've never received him, I want to help you do it right now. There's just moments left in this broadcast. I want you to receive Christ. Wherever you're at, in a group or by yourself, bow your head, bow your heart, and ask Jesus to save you. You can pray the words that I'm praying right now. You understand, you got to personalize this. You can't just give mental assent to some truth. You need to reach out and personalize this. God wants to be your Savior. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember what I said? He knows your name. He knows what tree you're in. He knows what's going on in your life. Right now, you need to call upon him. Just pray like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know it. I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and into my life and be my forever Savior. And Jesus, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that just now, and you've asked Jesus in your heart, you have been born again. If you meant it, that is being born again. You say it was too easy, not for Christ. We couldn't get it done, so he got it done for us. And you called upon him. And if you prayed and asked Jesus in your heart, you got to let somebody know. Call a church. Call this preacher. Tell your mama. Tell your son. You've got to tell somebody that you have received Christ as your Savior, and we'll rejoice in your salvation with you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.